Srimad Bhagavatam, description of Katyayani Vrat, which happens in this month of November, December. And this is the month that the Dandakaranya sages, they took birth in Bhoma Vrindavan during Prakat Leela of Radha and Krishna. On this earth planet 5,000 years ago, they were born in gopi families, and they became gopis. They had a desire to attain Krishna's service. But since their previous life in Treta Yuga, when they saw Ramachandra, they expressed a desire to have conjugal vilas or to be in a mood of a wife with Lord Ramachandra. They thought he was so beautiful and attractive and sweet and charming, they wanted to be his consorts, his wives. So then he said Bhavatu, but that could only be possible when he came as Krishna in Dwapara Yuga. So they had that sankalpa that they wanted Krishna as their husband. So this whole arrangement of this gopi vastra harana, stealing the clothes, these gopis, they were virgin girls, kanyas, kanyakumaris of Braj. So there's a pranam mantra to Purnamasi Devi, because they worship these sages who became the kanyas, the virgin girls of Vrindavan. They're worshipping Katyayani. Katyayani is a name for Durga, but it's actually Durga's Mahamaya in this world, but in the spiritual world she's Yogamaya, the spiritual energy that arranges for all the devotees to be with Krishna in different leelas. Yoga means connection or unification. So Yogamaya makes arrangements for all the different leelas of Krishna with his coward boys and with his mother and father and all the elderly gopis that are in the mood of vatsalya or parental love. So Yogamaya's function is there. And she's personified as an elderly aesthetic with matted locks and jata. She wears saffron robes and she lives in a leaf hut in some cottage of leaves and branches and brambles outside of Nandagram. She has her little place there. Kuti, Bhajan Kuti, Purnamasi Devi. And she's considered a yogini. She's like a yogini and a guru advisor for all the Vrijbasis. So they see her as an elderly grandmother type of well-wishing, white tantric type of personality that's always helping Radha and Krishna's pastimes and solving problems with the different devotees and their relationships with Krishna. So that's Purnamasi, but she's the energy. She's the personification of Krishna's Yogamaya, or personal lila potency. In all the different leelas of Braj, she's involved, Yogamaya. And then Vrindadevi works together with Yogamaya. Vrindadevi is specifically in charge of Kunja leelas, because Vrindadevi, of course, is an expansion of Radharani's Ladini Shakti, Madhurya, Bhav aspect, Vrindadevi. And she's Leela Shakti. She's called Leela Shakti. She arranges for Krishna's pastimes, specifically with the gopis in Madhurya Ras, Parakiya Bhav. So all the kunjas. So there's this nice pranam mantras there. Hridesha keli prabhuta vinodha vinyasa vigyam Vrajabanditangrim Kripalu tadya kila vishwavandhyam Shripurnamasim Shirasa namami Radhesha keli Prabhuta vinoda Vinyasa vigyam Vrajabanditangrim Kripalu tadya kila vishwavandhyam Shripurnamasim Shirasa namami Radhesha keli Prabhuta vinodha Vinyasa vigyam Vrajavanditangrim Kripalu tadya kila vishwavandhyam Shripurnamasim Shirasa namami. Translation. I bow my head and offer pranams unto Sri Purnamasi Devi. Sri Purnamasi Devi is completely expert at arranging the most confidential varieties of enjoyment for the Lord of Radhika, Radhesha, whose lotus feet are worshipped by the Brijvasis, who, due to possessing the entirety of transcendental qualities, starting with kindness, is worshipable to everyone in the entire universe. Shirasa Namami, Shri Purnamasim, Purnamasim, that the author of this pranam prayer is saying, I offer my head at the feet of Purnamasi Devi Yogamaya Ma, because she is Kripalu, Kripalu Adik, Ayakila, Vishwavandyam. The whole universe, Vishwa, they offer prayers, they vandyam, vandanam, they offer prayers at the feet of Purnamasi, because she's Kripalu, she's very merciful, very kind. And she's so exalted that even all the Brijvasis, Vanditangriam, they're also worshipping her lotus feet.
And what is she especially, what's her speciality for the Keli
Vilas of Prabhu and Radha, Prabhutta Vinoda, Keli, all the wonderful, pleasing and pleasurable pastimes of Radha and Krishna, their intimate exchanges, she's a key part of that. Understanding that, the Dandakaranya sages, they decided to worship Katyayani under the advice of Purnamasi. They were worshipping her with the desire to attain Krishna as her husband. They didn't want to have a paramour relationship with Krishna. They wanted to have Krishna as her husband. Swakiya bhav. Swakiya, belonging to me, my own. And parakiya means belonging to another. So they wanted to belong to Krishna, and they wanted him to belong to them. So this is lawful wedded love. They wanted a relationship like that. So in order to attain the fulfillment of their sankalpa, then they were advised to worship Krishna in Krishna's month. If you want to attain Radha, then you should worship Radha in Radha's month. Or if you want devotional strength or devotional power, then you should worship Radharani in the month of Radharani. In the month of Radharani is Kartik, which comes before Krishna, Shakti Dhan Shakti Man. So Kartik comes October, November, then that's Radha's month. And then Krishna comes November, December, Mrigashirsh, and that's Krishna's month. So they decide to do a one month vow, Katyayani Brat, which is described in Padma Puran, to worship. Generally, Katyayani is worshipped as Durga by young unmarried girls that want the blessings of Durga or Katyayani, that she will arrange for them to get good husbands, religious, dharmic, strong, virtuous, faithful husbands, so they can have successful married life. So with that same idea, but not wanting to have any man of this world as their husband, they wanted Krishna as their husband. So they took the mantra that's there, and they took this mantra from Purnamasi, and they did the brat. Sankalpa, mantra, and austerities. This is a brat. A brat means you take some vow that I want to accomplish this particular purpose, and this particular purpose, and I'm willing to undergo some denial and some self-control and some austerity so that I can satisfy the Lord or one of his energetic expansions or controllers of various aspects of this creation. And by performing these austerities, I hope that that Lord or God is pleased and then fulfills my cherished ambition. Katyayani Vrata, this is chapter 22 of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's also described in Ananda Vrindavan Champu very elaborately in chapter 12. Very long description of this pastime. Sri Shuka Vacha Hemante Pratame Masi Nanda Braja Kumarika Cheyur Havisham Bunjana Katyayan Yarchana Vratam. So these young unmarried gopis of Vrindavan, they were called the Nanda Braj Kumarikas, Nanda's Braj. During the first month of the winter season, the young unmarried girls of Gokula observed the vow of worshipping goddess Katyayani. For the entire month, they ate only unspiced khichdi. Very purifying. It's called Havishan. No spices, rice, dal, and ghee. Very purifying. No salt and no anything. Just ghee. So they were performing this austerity, not only eating austerity, but also sleeping austerity. They were getting up early in the morning. So it was eating austerity and sleeping austerity, getting up early in the morning and walking all the way to Chirgat, which is on the banks, which is in the Yamuna, before sunrise. It's very cold in this time of the year. As we know, in Vrindavan, we're here. In the morning, we're wearing our sweaters and our topis and our chadars and socks. And it's 10 degrees, I mean 12 degrees at night, early morning, 12, 14 degrees. It's quite cold, and they're just little girls. They're only 7 years old. And they're so much determined. Even at the age of 7 years, they have so much drita vrata. Such vrat, their dridha. Vrat means their vow, their sankalpa, their affirmation of what they want to attain is so much dridha, so much firm, that it's a very forceful vow they have. Dridha vrat. So they're determined, even at the age of 7 years old. They say, we must attain Krishna no matter what. So they're willing to. Their sankalpa is that we want to attain Krishna. So then they understand that that's a very high, cherished ambition. It's a very high desire. They have a very high aim in life. If someone says, oh, my aim in life is to be a rickshawwala. Well, it's not a very high aim in life. You collect a couple thousand rupees, you can buy a rickshaw and become a wala. Rickshaw wala. But if your aim in life is to attain Krishna as your husband, that's a very lofty and most elevated objective of human life. Dharmart, kam, moksha. Way beyond moksha and art and any mundane sense enjoyment of kam. So they wanted the topmost goal and topmost cherished desire. So naturally, it would demand some extreme austerities. And even though they were 7 years old and they were girls, they were willing to undergo those difficult and rigorous austerities to try to fulfill their hope against hope, sankalpa, to become the wives of Krishna. So therefore, they performed eating austerity for one entire month. And it's not easy to eat only unspiced khichdi for 1 month. Our tongue is pushing and demanding for so many wonderful tastes. There's so many tastes our tongue loves to entertain, the taste of sweet and salty and bitter and pungent and astringent. These give different types of satisfaction to the mind. connected to the tongue and the material body, but the unspiced khichdi is such that it doesn't taste sweet, it doesn't taste salty, it doesn't taste bitter or pungent nor astringent. It's zero taste for an entire month. It's easier said than done. It sounds, oh, it's easy khichdi, but it's not. So eating austerity, they performed, and sleeping austerity, they get up early in the morning, freezing, and they, the austerity, the bearing the weather, running outside their house, going from Barsana to Chirgat, which is about 45 minutes or an hour walk, and the cold, and then they would make a deity out of the sand and clay on the banks of the Yamuna. They would make a deity of Katyayani, then do elaborate puja there according to the rites and rituals of her puja as they were guided by Purnamasi. So that was so much austerity. And then they would take a bath. It's all right, you're all wrapped up in your chadars and topis and sweaters and long underwear and socks, and you're braving the cold, but then you take all your clothes off, as was the standard in the days of old. And all the ladies would bathe in one place and far removed from their sight or their place. The men would bathe in a separate location from those ladies. And they would leave their clothes there and bathe naked in the river. And it wasn't considered to be an offense for a woman because rivers are feminine. And women are feminine, so there's no gender clash. But if a man must always cover his private parts when bathing in any body of water, otherwise it's considered a very serious sin and offense to the goddess of that particular body of water. Be she Yamuna, Ganga Devi, Saraswati, etc. But as if a woman is naked, obviously she's naked, but it's not an offense. Whereas if she's to either man or woman on the land, if they're not covered, their private parts is considered an offense. Even the most primitive cultures of human beings, the Adivasis and other assorted species of human beings that are considered somewhat uncivilized, or what they say, primitive, aboriginal types, even they have the conception that a woman and man should cover their genitals on the land, and they do. Although they may have no, the women of these village type places, they, in the warm climates, they don't cover their breast. But it's not a, like an offense or a big deal. It's part of their culture. So they were doing that, and that austerity of bathing in freezing cold water of the Yamuna in November, December, and eating austerity, then the puja, and they had the sankalpa. So they are praying to Katyayani, not for a material husband or not for material benefits, dhanam dehi, janam dehi, pati dehi. They are praying that we want God as our husband. And God has appeared in this land of Braj, Nanda Gokula, as the son of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Sutta. So they were praying. So in the first verse, Shukha Muni is explaining some of the elements of their brat, the Kaladeshan Patra, time, place, and persons, and circumstance of their vow. Their what did that? Who was it? Well, it was the Kumaris, 7 years old to be exact, the unmarried virgin girls of Braj, a particular group of them, not all of them, not everyone was doing this Braj. It's a particular group of unmarried girls that wanted to attain Krishna as their husband in that Swakya mood. Patra, personalities involved in this. And what did they do? They did a Katyayani Brat. That's what they did. Oh, where did they do this? They did this Brat in a holy place. Because Brats in a holy place are very powerful and very quickly beneficial. more so than outside of the holy place. They did in Nanda Gokul, Nanda Braj, in the land of Nanda Maharaj, who was the glorious father of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And that's who and what and where and how do they do it? How do they do this Kalyani Brat? And how long was it? It was 1 month. Whole month of Mrigashirsh. And how do they do it? Well, what did they eat? Well, they didn't eat very much. Because when anyone's doing a brat, they say, what are you eating? What are you doing? What are you eating? What are you doing? I'm doing this, I'm eating this, this and that. Where? Why? This and that. So it's telling that here we don't know why they're doing it, but we know when they're doing it. First month of the winter season, Mrigashirsha month. Krishna says in Gita, among months, Mrigashirsha hum, I am Mrigashirsha, I am, this is me. So you want me? Then worship me in my month. So this is Krishna's month, Mrigashirsha. So people are paying attention to Krishna and worshipping Krishna and praying to Krishna every day and to his energies and to his servants and his devotees. We want you, Krishna. So we, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we want Radhadasyam, the service of Radharani. So we especially favor Kartik month. This is Radharani's month. And this is the month of, this is the month, Kadyani, I'd say, Kartik month is the month, the celebration of the devotee month. This is a celebration of pure bhakti, the victory of pure bhakti over Bhagavan. How God becomes Prem Vasibhut. Prem Vasibhut means controlled, Vasibhut means God becomes controlled by Prem. So Krishna became, Lala Gopal, Nanda Nanda, Yashoda Nanda became controlled by his mother's love, not by her stick, not by her fear. You can't control someone by fear for a short time when they're under your subjugation due to fear. You're holding a gun in their head and telling them to dig a hole, or fear of incarceration, then people do activities. But the greatest controlling power in the whole world is love. Because if someone loves someone, then love itself takes complete control of the individual. And a person's movements, his speech, his actions, and his desires are actually controlled by the love itself, not even by himself. Love takes over the individual. And the individual loses his individuality in one sense. That love forces him to speak, and love forces him to move, and forces him to act. So love is very powerful. Prem Vashibhut. Krishna becomes controlled by love. We say Radharani has 25 qualities. There are unlimited qualities. The 25 are listed. And the 25th one is that she fully controls Krishna by her love. So she fully controls Krishna by her love, but Yashoda also controls Krishna by her love, and Nanda also controls Krishna by his love, and Subal also controls Krishna by his love, and Balaram also controls Krishna by his love, and Raktak and Patrak and Patri and Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta and so many servants, and Payoda and Patri and Raktak and Patrak, the house servants in Nandagram, they also control Krishna by his love. And Rohini and the other elderly gopis, they control Krishna by their love. They churn yogurt into butter and they put all their love there and say, Krishna, you come to my house and you steal my yogurt today, my butter. And he does. They call Krishna to their door by their love. They force him to become a thief to steal their love. They force God to become a thief to steal their love. On the pretext of being a thief, he comes to take their love, which they store in the kumbha of their hearts, which is represented by the butter pot, the churning rod in the butter pot. The churning rod is their desire to serve Krishna. They're churning the yogurt with the churning rod of their desire to serve Krishna. And the desire to serve Krishna takes the form of the butter. And that's what prema is, a pure desire to serve Krishna. So the butter is a pure, solidified desire to serve Krishna, which they continually churn. of the churning rod. Save it. I want to serve. So what is prema? Prema is just unlimited, variegated, concentrated, and condensed desires to serve and please Krishna. This is prema, Krishna prema. So Radharani, she fully controls Krishna. Says that Krishna becomes like a toy doll, like a doll in the hands of Krishna. Moves according to her will, dances according to her will, speaks according to his will. Even the elderly gopis, they would come to Yashoda's house in the morning and say, "Hey Lala, hey Gopal, Suno Lala, we will clap our hands and sing, and you dance nicely, we'll give you some sandesh." So then they would start clapping their hands, 5 or 10 gopis, elderly gopi friends, sakhi friends of Yashoda and Rohini. La la ki la la da 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 Gopala la la nanda du la 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 ki la la. Like this, and they would clap their hands, and Krishna would dance with his little waist belt, kinki mala around his waist, and a little black string around his waist. And he had a little two tiger nails around his neck on a gold necklace inset with gold. Two tiger nails hanging around his neck for auspiciousness. And then he had his little earrings and little nose pearl. And he'd be dancing like so cutely, 2 years old, little kid on his little chubby legs, stepping this way, that way, and shaking his arms so funny. And then they said, "Very, very good." And they would clap their hands. La 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 take. And he would be so happy and smiling and to eat the sandesh. So this way he was dancing. God is dancing to the clapping hands of the elderly gopis, controlled by their love. So the Braja Kumaris, these ladies, they're hoping that somehow they can try to win Krishna's favor by their austerity and their crying out. Tavishwanath says that this chapter, Gopi Vastraharana Adhyaya, describes the Virgin Gopis, Braja Kumarika, their worship of the goddess Katyayani to attain Krishna as her husband. And of course it describes their worship, it also describes Krishna's stealing her clothing. That's the second part. Act 2 and Act 3 is Krishna's conversation with them. And Act 4 is Krishna's fulfilling their desires. And then ends by Krishna's praising the trees. Krishna praises the trees. So why does he praise the trees? Because if there were no trees in Vrindavan, he wouldn't have anywhere to hide the clothes of the gopis. He couldn't snatch the clothes of the gopis and run up in a tree and hide and bewilder them. If he was just standing there holding them over his arm on the shore, they would see him in a second. It would take away all the suspense and mystery of who did it, who done it. When they came out, they didn't see, "Where's our clothes?" and looking here and there. So this previous chapters, 21, Venugit, and others, they described, after describing the purva rag of the married gopis, such as Radhika towards Krishna in autumn. So in the beginning of Sharad season, the gopis like Radharani and Chandravali and Lalita Vishaka, they're married. They're already grown up and married. They're elderly. They're married to their Abhimanyus, and Chandravali is married to her Govardhan Mala. Mala means wrestler. Her husband's name is Govardhan the wrestler. He used to go to Bentura and wrestle with King Kamsa. He was a friend of Kamsa. He's the one that suggested to Kamsa, "As Krishna is a wrestler, why don't you invite him over here? Kill two birds with one stone." Because Govardhan Mala didn't appreciate that Krishna was running around with his wife, Chandravali. So he thought, anyway, it's a long story. But so he was a wrestler. He was a gop. But he was also famous for wrestling, Govardhan Damala, Govardhan Mala. They were married, but they had not had the opportunity yet to intimately enjoy with Krishna, but they were developing intense love from the time of their birth and appearance in Ravel, from their babyhood. They were always eternally in love with Krishna from the time they appeared. When Krishna first opened, when Radharani first opened her eyes, she saw her beloved. And she never saw anyone in her eyes again after that, except Krishna. And her eyes, when you're little, you don't know what color the eyes are. When a baby first born, it looks a little bluish, grayish, like this, in the beginning. Then they don't, maybe they become brown, gray, this, that. So Radharani, her eyes were closed, so you don't know what color they were. But then when she opened them, she saw Krishna, and her eyes became shamrang. So from the very time she opened her eyes, then the color of her eyes and the color of her heart became one. Her heart became full of shamras, and the shamras was filling her eyes with two beautiful oceans, known as her nayana. Sham Prem Nayana. Her eyes are full of Sham Prem Bhara Nayana. Heavily laden with pure love for Krishna, Sham Sundar. Sham Ras. So her heart is ocean of Sham Ras, and her two eyes are like two waves from that ocean of Sham Ras. It's churning and whirling and swirling in her heart. She casts glances from her eyes, it's like waves of praying from her ocean of shamras in her heart. So her eyes are blue, sham blue. Can't but be. So there, this from the very time she opened her eyes, she had purvarag for Krishna, intense love before union. And it growed and it growed and it growed and it growed. And they played together as kids on the banks of Yamuna and Pramandagat and Raval and Gokul. And Krishna moved to Chatikar, and Vrishabhana moved to Ral, R-A-L, Ral, neighboring village here. And then they would meet there and play sometimes, and more Purvarag. Then Krishna moved to Nandagram, and then Vrishabhana moved to Barsana. And then Krishna became 6 years old, Gopastami, and he was given charge of the cows. Now he could wander away from Nandagram and go to Barsana. And wander nearby and Kokilavan and different forests around Barsana playing his flute, and the gopis would hear his flute. And he deliberately played it in such a way. He would position himself. Krishna, when he'd leave Nandagram, he would find out which way the wind was blowing. And he would decide which direction he would go with the cows that day, depending on the wind. If the wind was blowing from the north to the south, then Krishna will go, leave Nandagram, go to the north. Because if he goes to the north and he plays his flute, then the north wind breeze, the breeze blowing from the north will carry his flute sound very quickly down to Barsana. If the breeze is blowing from the south, then Krishna would go, leave Nandagram and go south past Barsana. And the gopis would catch a glimpse from their Chandrashalika's rooftop towers, and see him walk by like a drunken elephant, swaggering from staggering from side to side, like this, his hair bouncing on his shoulders, looking this way, that way, this side gopi, that side gopi. Then he would go a little bit to the south of Barsana and play near Govardhan, and then the wind from the south would carry his flute up north to Barsana. And the wind was blowing from the east, then Krishna would go to the east, and that would go to the east with the cows, and the east wind would blow his flute to the west in Barsana. And this way the gopis could hear very clearly. So as they heard Krishna's flute more and more, their love increased more and more, and then they spoke Venugita. The fever pitch of love and loving attachment is expressed there in chapter 21. So that describes the purvarag of the married gopis. They're all getting together in groups here and there, sometimes right in front of Mother Yashoda. They say, "Oh, Mother Yashoda, your son has invented new ways of playing the flute, new kinds of ragas and raganis, that even the demigods cannot follow his pattern and his musical talent. Your son is so expert." So they would glorify, but sometimes they couldn't contain themselves. They would be at the Yamuna, or they'd be somewhere nearby where Yashoda was, and they, when they would see Yashoda, they would go intensely rapturous remembrances of Sham, of Nanda Nandan. But they didn't want to just say, "Oh, Yashoda, we're madly in love with your son. Do something. We just bring him to us. We can't. We want to embrace him and kiss him and and everything. They couldn't say that, so in an innuendo, in a reverse way, they said, "Oh, you know, your son is so expert flute player. He's Sangeet Visharad. And don't you know?" And they were glorifying her son in front of her, which would make her very happy. It was simply a covered expression of their intense purva rag. So even in front of Yashoda would bubble out. They would blurt out some glorification. And the other verses, there's one or two verses like Venugita describing like this, directly spoken in the presence of Yashoda at some selected location. But generally they would meet in small groups here and there, Lita Vishaka and Radha, or in Chandravali, or Tungavidhi and Rangadevi and Sudevi, and different groups. And, "Oh, he's like this. Yes, I know. And he plays like that. And when he walks like this..." So now the camera switches. Okay, that's what's happening to the married ladies of Brajavadu. Vidyavadu Jivanam. Brajavadu means the Vadu. The newly married brides of Vrindavan. What about the Kanyas? What's happening with them and their purva rag and their love for Krishna? So then we zero in on this chapter here and we find out about their purva rag. And this describes the purva rag of the unmarried Nitya Siddha gopis, such as Danya, in connection with the Hemanta season. Purva rag is intense loving attachment before meeting the beloved, although in fact their loving affection for Krishna as an intimate associate was already established. Still, the Kanyakumaris, following the ways of ordinary society, perform worship of Kaityani Devi to attain Krishna as their husband. Distinctions between these Kumari gopis performing a brat in Margashirsha and those of Radhika is explained in Harivamsh, Vishnu Purana, and Brahma Purana. It says, young unmarried gopis gathered together while it was still dark. Yuvatir Gopakanyas Chiratra. So this is, they're distinct, these Kumaris are different because they're unmarried, whereas Radharani is married. So then they would meet after they would bathe in Yamuna before sunrise. That's part of the brat. Usually there's some bathing. Early morning bathing is part of a brat or a vow, a austerity. At sunrise they would take bath. After bath, and when the sun was rising, they would make a deity of Katyayani and worship her with aromatic substances like sandalwood paste and lamps and fruits and betel nuts and new leaves and fragrant garlands and incense, cloth and food and so many things. Then there's a mantra that they chanted, Hare Krishna. No. They, of course, that's a Siddha mantra in itself. But the particular mantra that Purnamasi gave them to chant was a little different than that. It was this. Kadyayani Mahamaye Mahayogin Yadishwari Nandagopasutam Devim Patime Kurute Namaha. Then it's commenting, Iti mantram japantyastha pujam chakru kumarika. The mantra they chanted, each young virgin girl performed her worship, and while she was worshiping, she chanted the following mantra. O Goddess Katyayani, O Great Potency of the Lord, Mahamaya, Katyayani, Mahamaya. O Possessor of Great Mystic Power, Mahayogini, and Mighty Controller of All, Adi Ishwari. So you're the controller of everyone. Please make the son of Nanda Maharaj my husband. I offer my obeisances unto you. Nanda Gop Sutam Devi Patim Me Kurute Namaha. Patim Me Kurute. Kurute means please. Kurute, please you do. You make him my husband. Vishnu Chakravarti Pad Hari Vallabhadas Vinod Vallabhi Manjari is telling the Brajakumarikas prayed, O Katyayani, please make the son of Nanda Maharaj my husband. But Goddess Katyayani, because he's Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is describing a dialogue. He's making everything very personal. This verse describing this event. This happened and to this person here and there. He's saying, there they are. They're having a conversation with Katyayani. Of course, she's a murti made of sand. And so someone might say, how can murtis speak? But they're Sakshat Krishna, Archavigraha, Paramatma, Prakash Vigraha, Bhagavan. They're all equal representations of Satchidananda, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Super soul can speak, the Murti can speak, the Prakash Vigraha can speak, the Swayam Bhagavan can speak, Chaturvyuha can speak. If we have the ears and heart, the heart and ears to hear, then we can hear what they're saying, what they're guiding us to do, what they're directing us to do. So he's revealing that this Katyayani might say, all right, listen, gopis, you're asking me to make the son of Nanda Maharaj your husband, but she, Goddess Katyayani, may object, Vishnu. She might say, when you're saying Kurute Namaha, please do it, what does that have to do with me? You should do whatever you want in this matter. What I can do from my side, I will inspire your parents to do the needful in this matter. Rather, gopis, kumaris, you should rephrase your request by saying, please cause someone to do this. Please, or please give this. Please arrange for this. But why are you saying that you do it? Kurute Namaha. I'm saying you do it. Anticipating that Goddess Katyayani may object to their request in this way, the gopis say, listen, you're a Mahayogini. That's why we're saying you're Katyayani, Kurute Namaha, but you're a Mahayogini, Kurute Namaha. You're a Mahayogini, you're not a Yogini, you're a great Yogini. My connection with Krishna, the gopis said, should be arranged by you, immediately, without unnecessarily disturbing my parents. I'm too anxious for this union with Shyam, and I cannot wait any longer. Besides, if we wait for his parents to make arrangement, first he has to grow up and he has to be initiated as a Brahmin, Upanayanam Samskara, because in Vedic Dharma, no one gets married to higher classes, Brahmin, Vaishya, Kshatriya, without undergoing Upanayan Samskara. That's required before marriage is allowed to be performed. That Dasavita Samskara, a purification rite. Without that, then the parents cannot. So he hasn't done that. So you have to do something mystical, tantric, with your yogi powers. So you're not a yogini, you're a mahayogini. So therefore, according to the gopis, are saying he's not really ready yet for marriage. So what can his parents even do? Therefore, goddess, overlook all these proper rituals and rules of marriage, and in the Gandharva style, let us marry Krishna immediately. What is Gandharva style? Gandharva style means it's a love marriage by personal arrangement without parental sanction. Katyayani may object to this particular suggestion. You're thinking of Krishna as your husband, and you're anxious to have intimate connection with him, even without your parents knowing? How can I possibly fulfill this desire of yours? You can understand Purnamasi, or rather Katyayani, this Durga, or Yogamaya, she'd say, what are you girls proposing? You're basically saying you want sex with Krishna. You're saying we're too anxious. This is in other words, listen, God, you know, we're really lusty. We can't wait. Marriage means sex union. And you want us, and you're saying, why are you asking me? And I can inspire the parents that they should consider making an arrangement for the two families coming together and giving their virgin daughter to Nanda Maharaj, and in the next 6 or 8 months or a year, a marriage will be arranged. And they say, wait, don't do it, that's tell. Forget about this Kalyani thing. Now you're a Mahayogini. We're too anxious. Don't you understand? Like, we're anxious. We don't want to wait. We can't wait. I mean, can't wait for what? Well, we can't wait to get our hands on this boy. We can't wait to kiss him and hug him and be with him. And all these rituals of parents and the sanction and the bharat and this and that, forget it. Just do your magic. Do magic on us. You're a yogi. Do the magic. And she's saying, what? She's a grandmother. She's like an old lady. And she's saying, what are you, you're suggesting I'm supposed to help you have an illicit affair with someone's son? Is that what you're saying? How can I possibly fulfill this desire of yours? And remember, these are 7-year-old girls. So the gopis reply, they tried calling her Katyayani, who's the deity that fulfills every Kumari's desire to get a husband. And then that didn't work. So they say, hey, Ma Yogini, you're a great Yogini. And that didn't work. And I said, well, listen, you're the Adishwari. Forget about it. Yogi is like, okay, Yogi can control a few things here and there. But is he the Ishvara? He controls himself, his senses. He's a yogi. He's controlling his own senses. And he has some mastery over a few small mystic powers, Anima City, Lagima City, Prapti City, Kamavasayasita City. But the Ishvara, the Adishwari, the controller of everything and everyone and all the planets, now that's not such a small yogi. So she went from a yogini to God. He says, well, you're Durga, you're God, Adi Ishwari. Oh, Adishwari, you have all powers. Not just 8 mystic cities, you have all the powers. Therefore, nothing is impossible for you. You're Mahamaya. Mahamaya, Mahayogini, Adishwari. The supreme enchantress. Therefore, by your power of illusion, you should bewilder our parents. They will not know of our marriage to Krishna and our secret, and the secret of my intimate association with Krishna. So each gopi Kumari was praying like this. Saying, hey, Adishwari, listen, hey, you're the controller. So you control the situation in such a way that I'll marry Krishna and I'll have intimate connection with him and my parents won't know anything about it. They say, Katyayani Mahamaya Mahayogin Yadishwari Nandagopa Sutam Devi. Nandagopa Sutam. Suta means son. Nandagopa means Nanda Maharaj. Brajeshwara. Nanda Maharaj, the king of Vrindavan. So Nandagopa. He's a gop. Nandagopa and Banugopa. Banugopa is Vrishabhanu. Radharani's father is called Banugop and Nandagop and Upanandagop and Sanandagop and Nandanandanagop and Chandrabanugop and Vrishabhanugop and Banugop. So he's Nandagop Sutam, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Nandagop Sutam Devi. Devi, so Devi means, again, there's another word to describe the Devi. It can be thought of that way. So you're Katyayani Devi, you're Mahayogini Devi, you're Adishwari Devi. But Vishnu is saying, no, this Devi can refer to that Devi, Durga Devi, that they're worshipping and praying to and performing austerities to gain the favor of. But actually, this Devi refers to Kamadev, Devi. Because Devi comes from the word Devi, there's a Sanskrit D. Div Yati, Divyati means play. So when we say Nanda Gopasutam Devi, that son of Nanda Maharaj, he's very Devi, he's very playful. And it means that this word Devi, Nanda Gopasutam Devi, doesn't refer to Durga Devi or Adishwari Devi or Gadyani, refers to Krishna. He loves to play and he loves to cause other people to play. So when the Brajakumaris are saying Nanda Gopasutam Devi, they're saying, listen, we want to play with Krishna and Krishna wants to play with us. Now when boys and girls play, do they play dirty? Or do they play clean? Or what do they play? They play checkers or chess, or they play with cars or dolls, or play in the sand, or play, what do they do? So they're saying that, the gopis are saying, Vishnu is saying, Devi means Krishna is indeed the husband. So please make him so. Because it's only the husband who plays with the Devis. Devi Dasi. They say a married woman is called Devi Dasi. She's a servant of her Dave. Her Dave means her Lord. The husband is called Prabhu or Dave. Prabhu Dave or Prabhu. And the wife is called Devi, the goddess. So Devi Dasi means she's a servant of her Dave. She's a servant of her Lord. Her Pati. Her Pati is her Lord, her master, her husband. And Devi Dasi, though, so they're saying, not to go with some Devi. We want to, because only the husband can play, so he should be. Make him so. He is the husband. Such a status of being a husband cannot be affected without marriage. In other words, they're saying he's Devi, means he likes to play. And play with whom? With his wife. And so if we're the wives, then he must be the husband. So he can't play with us unless he becomes our husband. So by saying Devi means you have to make arrangements that he becomes our husband so he can play with us and we can play with him. So the status of being a husband cannot be affected, cannot happen unless they're married. So there's no harm, even if I'm a... And so they're saying... Oh, I see what they're saying. Such a status of being a husband can be affected without marriage, and thus there is no harm even if I'm married to some other coward man. So when the gopis, when these Brajakumaris who are 7 years old, they're so clever, they're saying, Nanda Gopasutam Devi, because she might say, I cannot make this, what you're proposing, I cannot accept. Nanda Maharaj will marry his son to whomever, and your mothers will marry you to whomever. What you're suggesting me that I'm Mahayogini and I'm Adishri, I can control everything, so you should make arrangements for us to have intimate connection with Krishna and forget about marriage, just throw some garlands around our necks. I'm not having anything to do with that. So then they say, okay, well, if you don't want to do it the legal way, if you will make arrangements for our marriage, or you won't even make Gandharva arrangement, and then let's do it Devi style. Devi means we'll just be his playmates. He can marry whoever, and our parents can marry us to whomever. So these are 7-year-old girls, or Brajakumaris are saying, listen, first, can you do it right, but make it a little bit secret? Let us go to the court and get married, a court marriage, and court marriage means in the court of the forest court, and we'll just exchange garlands, we'll exchange pens and sign on the paper. So we exchange garlands, and then we're married. Gandharva style means, oh, I love you, and I take string some flowers from the forest, and here's my garland. So and the girl strings some flowers, here's my garland. And that's marriage, Gandharva style. Then Gandharva takes you and puts you in his flower airplane, flies off to Gandharva Loka. So they were suggesting some type of formal, proper marriage. Gandharva is a type of vivaha, Gandharva vivaha. There's 7 or 8 different types of vivaha. So Gandharva vivaha. So then she wasn't budging. Kadyani was rejecting their proposal. It's preposterous. Why should I do it? Why you ask me to do it? Kurute nama. Kurute, you're telling me kurute means you do it. Kurute. Who am I? Well, I'm your water supplier. I'm Kadyayani, I'm Durga. And tell your parents, that's their business. Oh, come on, Katyayani, you know, we can't do that. Look, you're a yogini. You're a maha yogini. Can't you like do a little wimbo, shambo, bambo, you know, a little flim flam, you know, a little magic hocus pocus and make this thing happen? And then they're saying, listen, I mean, then she doesn't accept that. So look, you're the Ishvari. Just control the whole situation. We're too anxious. We can't wait. So she keeps rejecting. Kadyani keeps rejecting all their various marriage type of proper marriage proposals. So then they say, well, look, he's Devi. Forget about it. Then don't do anything. Then let it. We'll get married. But once we're married, and he's married or whatever, and we're married, then still make sure we can play with him. In this way, each of the gopis separately meditates on the meaning of the mantra chanted to petition goddess Katyayani. So this is a very important point here. That each gopi, they were all chanting the same mantra, but the mantra meant something different to each gopi depending on her, the position of her heart. The same thing, it's a maha mantra. We're all chanting the same mantra, but it means something differently to different people according to the position of their hearts. Some people, the maha mantra means Radha and Krishna. Some people, the maha mantra means, oh, the Radharani is a mother. Oh, Mother Hara, oh, energy of the Lord. Please engage me in the service of Krishna. The maha mantra, it means it's a facility to gain the service of Krishna. And some people take the maha mantra to mean names of Krishna and Radharani, and all the names indicate Krishna and Radharani. Rama means Radharaman, Rama. One who gives the pleasure of intimate union to Radha, Radharaman, Rama. Radharaman, Rama, Ramana, Ramana Iti. And then Krishna means Krishna, and Hari means Radha. And some people take the maha mantra that every word indicates Krishna. Hari means Hari, and Krishna means Krishna, and Ram means Radharaman. And some devotees, they take the maha mantra to mean Radha. Krishna means Krishna, and Rama means Rama, and Hari means Hari, or Hara. Hara, Rama, and Krishna. So it's Krishna chanting the mantra, remembering Radharani. So all the words mean Radharani. And when Radharani chants the maha mantra, then all the words indicate Krishna, because they chant like this. So in this way, the same mantra can mean have different. They each is separately meditating on the meaning of the mantra. So I asked that to that lady yesterday who said she was observing Katyayani Vrata. I said, "You're Chinese mantra." I said, "Yes." I said, "What is your understanding?" She said she would tell today. So this is their angle is Sokhiya Bhav and marriage. Now, if you're performing this Vrata, what an interest in Mandri Bhav and your Chinese mantra, which one does, and he worships Katyayani, which we did and have done, then what is your conception? What are you meditating on when you chant? Which I asked her. Because this point is mentioned here. And now, the great Acharya Vishwanath, who came 200 years or so after Kavikarnapura, as Kavikarnapura lived during Lord Chaitanya's time and sucked on his toe, as Chaitanya Das, and as then Lord Chaitanya gave the name Kavikarnapura. Because he recited a beautiful verse after sucking on Lord Chaitanya's toe, glorifying Krishna as a beautiful sapphire necklace resting between the breasts of the gopis or something like this. A little five-year-old boy. That shloka is there. So hearing that, Lord Chaitanya was extremely elated because he's in Radha Bhav. So the child sucked on his toe, Chaitanya Das, Shivananda Sen's son, immediately understood the Bhava who he was sucking on. That this is Krishna and Mahabhav. So it's Krishna and Radha's Bhav. Radharani's relishing Radha's Mahabhav. So therefore Radharani wants to hear something about Krishna. So then he glorified Krishna as Shyam. Beautiful verses there, Sanskrit verse. And when everyone hearing that was amazed, how has this five-year-old boy has become such a kavi? And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, he's not only a kavi, but he fills our ears with nectar. Karnapur. Karnapur. Pur means full and Karna means ear. Kavi Karna Pur. He's the poet that fills the ears with nectar. Ananda Brahma Champu, Krishnaika Komudi. These are two books we were able to bring into English language first time in the history of the world since they were written. Vishnath, who appeared in 1600s, about 150, 200 years after Kavi Karna Pur, he appreciates very much his description of this Kavi Vastaharana Leela, so he's quoting him in his purport here. In Ananda Brahman Champu, chapter 12, a very elaborate description, he gives us a little piece here. The gopis are praying to Katyayani, "O worshipable Devi, please accept this foot wash, Padya, and cool off our burning breasts with the water from Krishna's feet." So there, that's the point. When we offer a conch shell with water, and we seven circles, seven times around his head, and seven like this and that. So many details of puja, archana, vidhi are there. But what is the bhav behind the expression? As they say, it's not what you do that counts, it's how you do what you do that counts. How you do what you do that counts means that what is the bhav behind the expression? The expression means the outward movement or action. And the bhav means the inward movement. Inward movement, or the inward placement of the heart, and inward position of the heart is the bhav. Invisible, but visible. Imperceptible, but perceptible. Can't feel it, but you can feel it. This is bhav. Something extraordinary. Alaukik. Alaukik bhav. Transcendental bhav. Prema. Kadyayani Mahamaye Mahayoginyadishri Nanda Gopasutam Devim Patime Kurute Namaha. So, our Kavi Karna Pur, true to the spirit of his realizations and the depth of his devotional perception, he makes a very rustic description of this Leela. And Ananda Vrindavan Champu, "O worshipable Devi," so they're taking a conch shell and they have water in it and they have their murti made of sand of Katyayani and they're offering argya. "Idam argyam sring Katyayani Devis namaha," and they offer into a tamra patra, into a cow shaped, it's shaped like a cow's ear, a copper, let's forget what it's called, patra is a copper, it's shaped like a cow's ear. Copper receptacle like bowl where they pour the water from the conch into improper puja. So I had all these articles, puja samagri. What are they thinking? Okay, we're pouring this water according to the rite and ritual of Artik and the worship of Katyayani Murti in this Katyayani Brat month. But what is our bhav behind our expression? We're pouring this beautiful, cool water from the Yamuna. We have some, this is Argya, so we have some shredded coconut in here. Or in winter season, we have some powdered nutmeg, jaifal. And we have some dalcini powder here. And we're offering this Argya. And it's very cooling and very refreshing, but we also want some Argya in return. Well, it argue, says that please cool off our burning breasts with the Krishna Charanamrita, with the water from Krishna's feet. And how will that happen? Well, by saying this, they're hoping in the future someday they will hold Krishna's feet on their breasts and they will cry in loving ecstasy. And there's two types of tears. There's hot tears of anger and there's cool tears of love. When the heart is saturated with love and one cries due to different exchanges with the beloved, those tears are never hot. They're always cool because they're sourced. They're sourced from the cool waters of prema flowing in the heart. But tears of anger are hot tears. These are tears of an overheated mind. Because anger does not source from the heart. It's sourced from the mind. Hot head, hot mind. So they would hold Krishna's beautiful, tender, bud-like feet on their butter-soft breasts, and then cry in love. And those tears would be cold, and therefore they would cool off. That their cool tears washing over Krishna's feet, being caressed against their breasts, would cool off the heat of their desire to be with Krishna. So we worship you with this Argya, so please give us the association of Krishna, who is the Maha Argya, the most worshipable person. Is the deity of Katyayani mentioned in this verse number 2, or 4 rather, 10th canto, chapter 22? Is she the same Katyayani that every virgin girl in India worships? Katyayani Ma? Patim Dehi, they say the same thing. Patim Dehi, oh Katyayani, please give me a husband. They just say Patim Dehi. Or maybe if they know, you know, Dr. Sharma Patim Dehi or whatever, somebody's son they want to marry, but usually they just say they want a generic. They don't know who that husband will be. They're only 12 or 11 or 10, 8. They're virgins. And they know they have to get married. They want someone good. So they're praying to Katyayani because their sister did that and she got a husband, and their mother did that and she got a husband, their grandmother did that and she got a husband. Everyone's been doing that and they all got husbands, good, bad or ugly, and they carried on their lives. And so this is a tradition. This is the Kula Devata for the virgin girls of the Brajamandal. So they're all worshipping, but there's some speciality, Vishesh, in their mantra. Not just Patam Dehi, not just Patame Kurute Namaha, a specific one pati, and only one pati. But how is it there's hundreds of virgin girls worshipping Katyayani and asking for one person to be the husband? Because Nanda Gopa Sutama is only one. There's only one Krishna, and there's hundreds of virgin girls worshipping him. So automatically, if they're all going to get Krishna as their husband, someone's going to get him as their paramour. Or they'll all get him as their paramour. And that's the word Devi means that. Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogini Dishri. Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi. They all understand it. Sutam, Nanda Gopa Sutam, how is it possible that he will be a Patimme? How we are hundreds of girls, and how can one man be the husband for hundreds of virgin girls? He can't be. So I will forget about it. We'll get married to someone else. Let him be our lover of all of us. Let it be my paramour and your paramour and everybody's paramour. But each gopi is praying alone. Each gopi is worshipping her own murti of Katyayani, and these are her own prayers with their own meanings. Each person chants his worship his own deity, and each person chants the Mahamantra alone. And each person has his own conception and realization about the Mahamantra. And the Mahamantra reciprocates with that person according to his conception and his bhavana and his bhav and his adhikara. So this is not the Katyayani that everyone worships. This goddess Durga is not the illusory Mahamaya potency, but she's a Chit-Shakti internal potency of the Lord known as Yogamaya. Distinction between the internal and external potency of the Lord is described in Narada Pancharatra in a conversation between Shruti and Vidya. And that's a good conversation. Shruti Devi and Vidya Devi. Interesting. Two ladies. Personification of oral knowledge. A-U-R-A-L. Oral knowledge. Whatever has been heard. And then Vidya, knowledge. Knowledge itself in any form. Vidya Devi and Shruti Devi had a discussion one day. So they were worshipping, the gopis were worshipping Yogamaya. So this conversation between Shruti and Vidya, Shruti said, Mahavishnu's inferior potency, Durga, is dedicated to Vishnu's loving service. Being a potency of the Lord Vishnu, this inferior energy of Durga is not different from him, Mahavishnu Sarupini. There is, however, another superior potency whose form is on the same spiritual level as God himself. Simply by understanding scientifically the supreme potency, one can immediately achieve the supreme soul of all souls, who is the Lord of all lords. There is no other process to achieve the Lord. And Shruti said, that supreme potency of the Lord is known as Gokuleshwari, the goddess of Gokul. Her nature is to be completely absorbed in love of God, Prema Sarvasva. And through her, one can easily obtain the primeval God, the Lord of all that be. This internal potency of the Lord has a covering potency, Avarika Shakti, known as Mahamaya, who rules the material world. In fact, she bewilders the entire universe, and thus everyone within the universe falsely identifies himself with the material body. We can thus understand that the internal and external potencies of the Supreme Lord are personified as Yogamaya and Mahamaya, respectively. The name Durga is sometimes used to refer to the internal supreme potency, as stated in Pancharatra. And Narada Pancharatra says, in all mantras used to worship Krishna, the presiding deity of each of those Krishna mantras is the spiritual Durga, Yogamaya. Therefore, the Kumarikas are worshipping Krishna with this mantra, Nanda Gopasatanda, you know, he's the object of their worship through Kadyani. So because Krishna is the object of their worship, then in that mantra, the presiding deity is not the material Durga, but the spiritual form of Yogamaya. In the transcendental sound vibrations, glorifying and worshipping the absolute truth Sri Krishna, the presiding deity of the particular mantra is called the mantra devata. And whenever there's a mantra, there's a chandas, there's the rishi, the rishi who gave that or revealed that mantra, the rishi, the chandas, which means the meter, the chandas, the rishi, the mantra devata, and the conception, the meaning. There's four or five elements of mantras. Describe my Gayatri book. So when one gives mantra, Diksha, then he describes the rishi of the mantra, who gave it, and the meditation, and the chandas, etc., which we've done. To repeat, in the transcendental sound vibrations, glorifying and worshipping the Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna, the presiding deity, which means the Shakti, of that particular mantra or hymn is called Durga. To confuse the Yogamaya Durga with the Mahamaya Durga is a mistake. A lot of times when the word Durga is being mentioned, it actually refers to Yogamaya, the internal chit potency, chit shakti of Krishna, Surupa of Krishna, Surupini shakti of Krishna. So in this verse, when it's saying Maha Kadyayani, Kadyayani is another name for Durga, as any materialist will say. But Durga is also another name for the spiritual Yogamaya potency. It can be Durga or the Mahamaya potency. Similarly, Kadyayani in this case refers not to Durga Mahamaya, but to Durga Yogamaya. So Kadyayani means Yogamaya. So that's why the Acharyas say that Vraja Kumarikas were worshipping Yogamaya to attain Krishna as their husband. Although the pastimes of Braj are on the platform of pure transcendence, Shuddha Sattva, they somewhat resemble material pastimes in appearance, because they're bathing naked, and they're worshipping, and they're doing everything that ladies do in the village. Therefore, there is no fault in the gopis' worship of Durga or Mahamaya. Independent, so externally, they look like any village girls of India worshipping Mahamaya or Durga or Kadyayani to attain a husband. There's no fault if they do that. That's the tradition, that's the ritual, that's the shastras to do like that. But actually, the whole underlying, the foundation of it all is that it's not the material Durga. We should know the tattva behind the lila. The lila looks analogous to lokik lila, lokik vihar, or material, ordinary, commonplace pastimes. But it's transcendental. That's the tattva behind it, which we've been hearing about. There is no fault in the Vrajagopis' worship of Durga or Mahamaya. Independent thinkers who think that the name Durga and Maya refer exclusively to the external potency of the Lord have no chance of getting even a touch of the breeze carrying the scent of prema on their body. This is from Vaishnava Toshini. So sometimes he quotes the great Acharya, Mahajanacharya's in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes Kavi Karnapur or Sanatana Goswami, who wrote the commentary called Vaishnava Toshani. I mean, it's great, that commentary gives great toshan, great satisfaction to the Vaishnavas. So this section here was from Sanatana Goswami. So beautiful. So he says, it's actually very nice English here. Independent thinkers, those that are mental speculators, in other words, independent of connection with the Absolute Truth. Independent means I'm God and whatever I think is great and perfect. Speculating on the strength of your own mental powers. Jnana priya samudupasti namante va, like Brahma. Jnana will only take us to vijnana, and vijnana has to retire where shraddha carries us to God. Realization is partial. Faith is complete. Vijnana is, I realize aham brahmasmi. I'm consciousness. But that doesn't mean we've realized the prema srupa of Krishna and Bhagavan. Bhagavan iti shavite. Faith carries across the vast distance, across the Brahmajyoti and across the Paravyam. That faith, Shraddha Devi, carries the soul to that highest understanding of absolute transcendence, the personality of Godhead and Braja Gokul. So these independent thinkers, they don't even have a chance of getting a touch of the breeze carrying the scent of prema on their body. If someone thinks that Durga and Maya and Katyayani only refer to Shiva's wife and the controller of the material world, Devi Dham, Durga Dham, this fortress of the material energy, he'll never get even the whiff of the Vraja Prem. The gopis are highly realized souls because they understand all the tattvas and everything behind what they're doing. So their activity performed in full knowledge gives the highest result. This is what Krishna told Nanda Baba when they were discussing about Indra, Yajna. He said, why are you performing this? Is it tradition or it's some ritual or why? And Krishna told in that discussion, activities performed with proper knowledge give the greatest result. Gopi Vastraharana Leela, text 5. Evam masam vratam cheru kumarya Krishna chetasaha vajrakalim samanarchur bhuyananda sutapati. Thus, for an entire month of Margashirsh, the girls of Braj carried out their vow and properly worshipped the goddess Vajrakali, fully absorbing their minds in Krishna and meditating upon the following thought: may the son of the king of Nanda, of King Nanda, become my husband, was their vow. Ushas yutaya gotre swear anyonya badda bahava Krishna mucher jagur yantya kalindyam snatum anvaham. Every day the Braja Kumarikas rose at dawn. They called out each other by name. Hey Danya, hey, etc. And they all held hands and loudly sang the glories of Krishna while going to the Kalindi to take their bath. While going to the Yamuna for bathing, one Sakhi called another, "Oh Danya, where are you? Why are you late?" Nadya kadachit agatya tire nikshipya purvavat vasamsi Krishnam Gayantyo Vijarur Salile Muda. One day they came to the riverbank, and putting aside their clothing as they had done before, they happily played in the water while singing the glories of Krishna. The phrase of word is there, kadachit, means once. It means once on the full moon day when the gopis had completed their 1 month vow To celebrate the success or completion of their vow, the Brajakumaris invited Vrishabhanu Nandini, who was the special object of their affection, along with the other main gopis, and brought them all to the river to bathe. Their playing in the Yamuna was meant to serve as the Avavrita Snan, which was a ceremonial bath taken immediately upon completion of a Vedic sacrifice. Bhagavam stad abhipritya krishno yogeshwareshwaraha vayasyer avritas tatra gatastat karma siddhaye. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Master of all Masters of Mystic Yoga, was aware of what the gopis were doing, and thus he went there surrounded by his young companions, Vayasyer Avritas, to award the gopis the perfection of their endeavor. Tat karma siddha, siddhaye. Krishna is the master of all masters of mystic power, thus being omniscient. Krishna easily understood the desires of the gopis, and he would fulfill them. The gopis, like all young girls from respectable families, considered the embarrassment of appearing naked before a young boy to be worse than death. Yet, Sri Krishna made them come out of the Yamuna and bow down to him. Though the gopis' bodies were fully developed, and although Krishna met them in a secluded place and brought them fully under his control, because Krishna is completely transcendental, there was not a trace of material desire in his mind. As the ocean of transcendental bliss, Sri Krishna wanted to share his bliss with the gopis on the spiritual platform, completely free of mundane lust. This is the import of using the word Yogeshwareshwara. According to Shastric references, the word Vayasye, young companions, used in this verse number 8, refers to mere toddlers 2 or 3 years old. These young boys who accompanied Krishna were completely naked and unaware of the difference between male and female. When Krishna went out to herd the cows, they followed him because they were so attached to Krishna and could not bear to be without him. So he took a few, 4 kumaras with him. Some young boys, naked boys, and don't know whether they're naked or the gopis are naked or anybody's naked. They can't tell the difference. Kramadipika says Krishna was surrounded by babies who spoke in broken language, who wore tiger nails around their necks and tinkling bells around their waists, and who had fat thighs. The Vaishnav Toshini, quoting from Gotamiya Tantra, lists the names of the boys as Dam, Sudam, Vasudam, and Kinkini. They were the personification of Krishna's heart. Dam, Sudam, Vasudam, and Kinkini. Tasam vasams yupadhaya nipam avruya sattvaraha hasadbi prahasan bale parihasam bhuvachaha. Taking the gopis' garments, Krishna quickly climbed to the top of a kadamba tree. Then, as he laughed loudly, his companions also laughed, and Krishna jokingly addressed the gopis. The small boys accompanying Krishna laughed for no reason. By laughing loudly, Prasan, Krishna called attention to himself, and then he joked with the Brajakumaris. Oh, young girls of Braj, do you know who put all these clothes on the branch of the Kadamba tree? While herding the cows, I saw them from far away, and I was wondering, oh, today that Kadamba tree looks very attractive, with extraordinarily colorful flowers and fruits. To see this astonishing spectacle, I came running here and climbed this tree. The young girls replied, they are our clothes. Krishna, that cannot be. If they were yours, how did they get on the branch high in the tree? That cannot be. Krishna said, the gopi said rather, you have stolen them and put them there. Krishna, ah, are you blaming me? I am the son of King Nanda. Am I a thief? If you doubt me, then just go to Mathura and complain to King Kamsa. Gopi said, don't get angry. Just look closely at the clothing and see if they are women's or men's clothing. Krishna says, according to my understanding, they must be women's clothing because they are so colorful. But so what? You're not the only women in the universe. Could these not be the clothes of some other women? Gopi says, true, but who else besides us can come to the secluded forest? Krishna, oh, girls who like to wander in lonely places, are you the only women that wander in lonely places and play privately? Gopi says, oh, fool, we did not come here to play, we came here to worship Durga, the deity of this Kadamba tree. Krishna, are you the only young women worshipping Durga? Are there no others? Gopis, there are no others. Krishna, oh foolish ones, every night the demigoddesses come here on celestial vehicles to worship Durga. Gopis, even if they did perform worship here, why would they leave their clothing here and go away? Krishna, oh young girls, don't you know anything? Tonight they will come again and perform worship. After bathing, they will don these clothes. That's why they left them here. Gopis, you do not know the truth. Today we will perform worship. The deity of the forest has placed those clothes high up on the tree for us to wear after bathing. The deity of the forest. Atragat yabala kamam samsam vasa Pagriyatam satyam bravami bravani no narama yad yuyam pratikarshitaha. Krishna said, my dear girls, you may each come here as you wish and take back your garments. I am telling you the truth. I am not joking with you. And since I see you are fatigued from executing severe vows, this verse shows how Krishna joked with the girls. Krishna said, if these clothes are really yours, then come here if you like and identify them. You can take them after paying me one small necklace each in order to satisfy me after you have insulted me. Each one of you should come individually, not all at once, or two or three together, because out of greed for the cloth, one woman will take more than one cloth. Gopi said, we cannot go there. Laughing, Krishna said, oh girls, Avala, weak ones, you have become weak due to your intense austerities, and therefore cannot come here. If you don't do this, however, I will not give the clothing because I am Bala, strong. What can you Abalas, weak women, do? Gopis, we do not trust your crafty words. Krishna said, I am telling the truth. I am making a vow to you. I am not joking. I see that you are exhausted from the difficulties of your vows. Because of your austerities, I am upholding the principles of religion. by showing mercy and devotion to you. Namayodita purvamva anritam tadi me vidu ekai kasha pratichadvam sahayaveti sumadhyama. I have never spoken a lie before, and these boys know it. Listen, slender waists and girls. Please come forward, either one by one or all together. Pick up your clothes. Now he's saying all together. The girls replied to Krishna, because you're a liar, we don't believe your promise. Krishna bit his tongue while saying, I have never told any lies. From birth till now, I have had no occasion to ever lie to anyone. What is the proof? These young boys are the witnesses. They are reliable as witnesses because they naturally report whatever they see. Gopis. From far away, please throw the clothes to us in the water, or just have the young boys bring them here. Krishna said, I am unable to discern one woman's clothes from another. How then can I throw them to you? Being a very religious person, I do not touch possessions of others, even with my fingernail. Therefore, you must come here. Identify your own clothes and take them. It is my firm rule not to touch, take, or give the things of others. Gopis, because you are so impudent, you can embarrass us. Due to this fear and the fact that we are respectable women, we do not come near you. Krishna. All right, then listen. One of the young girls among you can come forward. If she is not embarrassed and returns to you, then the others can come to me one by one. Or all can come together. If you come as a group, it would be impossible to embarrass you. The head is the topmost part of the body, and it's very beautiful. So please show me your heads. If you can show your heads, then you should not be embarrassed to show me your other beautiful limbs, including your beautiful slender waist. Samadhyama. Text 12. Tasya tat shvelitam drishtva gopya prema pariplutaha vridita preksha chanyanyam Jatahasa na niryayu. Seeing how Krishna was joking with them, the gopis became fully immersed in love for Krishna. And they glanced at each other and began to laugh and joke among themselves, even in their embarrassing predicament. But still, they did not come out of the water. To make Krishna happy, I think we should not be so self-conscious. Thinking like this, the gopis began to joyfully talk among themselves. Glancing at one another, they became embarrassed. The gopis were from most respectable families, and they might have argued with Krishna thus. Why don't you simply leave our clothes on the bank of the river and go away from here? Krishna. But there's so many of you that some of the girls may take the clothes belonging to another. Gopis, we are honest to never steal anything. We never touch another's property. Krishna, if that's true, then simply come and get your clothes. What's the difficulty? When the gopis saw Krishna's determination, they were filled with loving ecstasy. Although embarrassed, they were overjoyed to receive such attention from Krishna. He was joking with them as if they were his wives or girlfriends. And if the gopis' only desire was to achieve such a relationship with him. At the same time, they were embarrassed to be seen naked by him. But still, they could not help laughing at his joking words and even began to joke among themselves. One gopi said to another, Oh, lotus-eyed one, Krishna's calling you. Second gopi answered, Oh, beautiful-faced one, you go first. Let us see if Krishna plays any tricks on you. Then we will go later. In this way they joked among themselves, but remained in the water without moving. They're taking shelter of the Yamuna, Galindi Devi, another female. They're hiding in the waters, dark waters of the Galindi, preventing Krishna from gazing at their naked limbs. So they were maintaining their chastity and feeling very embarrassed to come out of the water. The water was a type of shelter for them, protection. Evam bruvati govinde naraman akshipta chetasa akanta magna shito de vivamanastam abravan. As Sri Govinda spoke to the gopis in this way, his joking words completely captivated their minds. Submerged up to their necks in the cold water of the Yamuna, they began to shiver. Thus they addressed Krishna as follows. In this way, Govinda continued to joke. The word Govinde means one who speaks sweet words, such as the following. Krishna said, "Oh, dark-eyed girls, if you don't come out here, I will tie all these clothes to a branch of a tree, make a hammock and pillow, and lie down since I'm quite sleepy, having stayed up all night." He's going to tie all their saris together, make a makeshift bed called a hammock, and suspend it between two branches of the tree, just lying there in a little reclining position, swing around on their saris, not give them back. Gopi say, "Oh Gopal, your cows, being greedy for grass, have gone into a mountain cave. You better go quickly. Herd them back on the proper path." Krishna says, "Oh Gopabala, coward girls, you should quickly leave here and go to Braj to do your household duties. You should not make your parents and elders suffer." So the gopis are saying, "Krishna, better go get the cows and leave our clothes and go get the cows." He's saying, "Oh, there's a big calamity in your village. You better come out soon, take your clothes and go." So the gopis are trying to cleverly get rid of Krishna, get him to leave. And Krishna is cleverly trying to get the gopis to leave the shelter of the water and show their naked bodies. Everyone is trying to move the other person, but no one's moving. Krishna is not leaving the clothes up in the branches of the tree. And the gopis aren't leaving the protection of the Kalindi's loving arms. Gopi said, "Listen, our dear Krishna, we will not go home for an entire month. It is by the order of our parents and other relatives that we are executing this vow of fasting, the Kardyani Brat." Krishna says, "My dear austere ladies, I too, by the strength of seeing you, have now developed a surprising mood of detachment from family life. I wish to stay here for a month and execute the vow of dwelling in the clouds, Nabovas. If you are merciful to me, I will come down from the water and observe the vow of fasting in the water along with you." The gopis were completely captivated by Krishna's joking words. But out of shyness, they submerged themselves in the waters up to their necks. Trembling from the cold, and also they were trembling because of their joy, anxiety, and eagerness, the gopis addressed Krishna as follows. Manayam bo kritas tvam tu nanda gopasutam priyam janimon ga raja shlagyam deva samshive pita. Gopi said, "Dear Krishna, don't be unfair. We know that you are the respectable son of Nanda. You are also very dear to us. Please give us back our clothes. We are shivering in the cold water." In this verse, the gopis try to satisfy Krishna by using one of the four diplomatic principles known as sama, or pacification. The gopis said, "Listen, you're born in a cultured family, so why are you doing unworthy activities?" Krishna says, "It's obvious you do not respect me at all, for you are not afraid of calling me bad names." Gopis, We do not know any other places of Braj, but we know you, the son of King Nanda. You are praised and loved by all the Brajvasis, Krishna. O foolish women, if I am a king's son, then what wrong can I do? If you say the king's son should not do any wrong actions, then I say, if I am doing anything wrong, how can I be praised and loved by everyone in Braj? It is not possible to praise or love a wrongdoer. Gopis. True, we simple women are ignorant of how to speak. Please forgive us. Therefore, and give us our clothing. We are shivering with cold. With these words, the Brajakumarikas invoke Krishna's mercy. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bhavatyo Yari Me Dasyo Mayuktam Vakarishyata Atragatya Savasamsi Samsi Pratichata Shuchi Smita No Chen Naham Pradasye Kim Krudo Raja Karishyati. After hearing the gopis speak for a few verses, Krishna replied, if you girls are actually my dasis, my maidservants, and you will really do what I say, then come here with your innocent smiles, Shuchi Smita. And let each girl pick out her clothes. If you don't do what I say, I won't give them back to you. And even if the king becomes angry, what can he do to me? After being defeated by their own words, the gopis stood speechless. Then Krishna spoke. We will now test the truthfulness of your words. If you really are my servants, then you will do whatever I say. Please come forward with a smile and take your clothes. If you are not true to your words and fail this test of Dharma, then I will not return your clothes. This is getting a little bit difficult now. The word Shuchi Smita means a smile expressing conjugal love. Because the word Shuchi means union. Thus the gopis revealed their true inner feelings towards Krishna with their smiles full of conjugal affection. So obviously the face is the index of the mind. A smile can mean a lot. A smile can get you in a lot of trouble. Also, if it's a Shuchi Smita, if it's a smile which is conveying desires for conjugal union, then you better watch out who you're smiling at. Hopefully it's your husband or someone who's about to be your husband or whatever. Otherwise, it could be a little problematic. Krishna continued, as I am stronger, you should use sama instead of beta. You make the king angry, what can you accomplish? Tato jalashayat sarva dharika shita vepita panibhyam yonam achadya proteru shitakarshita. Then shivering from the painful cold of the icy waters of the Yamuna in December, all the young girls rose up out of the water, covering their pubic area with their hands. Proteru shitakar shita. Panibhyam yonam achadya. The gopis talked among themselves. Oh, sakis, we've been defeated by our own words. Now if we delay any longer and some other man may come along, and then we'll be sunk in the ocean of shame. Our desire to touch Krishna's body has become even stronger and cannot be put to death even by drowning in the Yamuna. It seems our fate has been written on our foreheads, and we can do nothing to change it. Therefore, yielding to Krishna's demands, We must put aside our embarrassment, send our reluctance to hell, and close our eyes. In that darkness of our closed eyes, we'll cover our bodies and rise up from the water, thus assuring each other that there was no alternative. The gopis rose out of the water to meet Krishna. So Krishna's winning the program here. The Kanyakumaris, they've been hiding in the water up to their necks, pleading with Krishna to be compassionate and understanding and relenting, to give back their clothes. The next verse. The gopis are and they're rising out of the water. They've surrendered. All right, what to do? Because they worship Kadyani for 1 month, and this is the last day of their brat. And their brat was that Krishna, that Kadyani Ma, Durga, would make an arrangement, Yoga Maya would make an arrangement for them to marry Krishna. So here he is. They never met him before, they never spoke to him before, but they loved him. They fell in love with him. That's very common. Someone may fall in love with someone by seeing them or hearing about them. They actually haven't personally met them or even talked to them. Or they may fall in love with some girl, or some girl may fall in love, oh, this boy in school, I like him so much. Then they may meet some of his friends. Can you arrange I can meet him? No, he's very busy with his studies. He won't meet any girls. No, please, I want to meet him. This, that. Text 18. Bhagavan ahata viksha shuddha bhava prasadita. Skande nidhaya vasamsi prita pravocha sa smitam. When the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna saw how the gopis were struck with embarrassment, Krishna was satisfied by their pure loving affection, shuddha bhav, putting their clothes on his shoulders, skande nidhaya vasamsi. The Lord smiled and spoke to them with affection. Krishna became very satisfied, prasadita, to see the pure, unalloyed love of the gopis, who on his order had given up all shyness, which was worse than death for those respectable girls. Krishna put the gopis' clothing over his shoulder. Why? Because he was greedy to smell the fragrance of their bodies lingering on their clothes. By doing this, Krishna showed his love for the gopis. Well, Krishna was showing his interest in their clothes. He didn't just hold their clothes like this. Here, I have your clothes. He threw them over his shoulder. He showed their saris. Because women have their own smell. Women have a smell. Men have a smell, fragrance, whatever. Aroma. So the gopis, their bodies, they each have their individual fragrance of the kunkum and kajal and perfume and chandan, kasturi, and other ointments and unguents and oils they have on their hair and bodies and faces and breasts, kunkum, powdered kunkum. And all these things combined together, and they linger and remain mixed in their clothing. So Krishna is smelling that and looking at them and smiling. So that's an indication that he's interested, because if you're interested, love me, love my dog, tadiyanam samarchanam, he's showing interest not only in their naked forms before standing before him, but he's also showing interest in their clothing. So when you love someone, you love everything about them. You love their bodies, you love their association, you love their clothing, you love everything. Isn't it? Radhe, Radhe. So Krishna is indicating to them, although they haven't even spoken to each other, their first meeting is quite intimate. This is more than love at first sight, I would say. Krishna's first sight is naked darshan of the girls he's not even met before. Well, that's quite a forward, high gear relationship. when you haven't even met someone, you don't even know their name, and they come before you naked, here I am. Say, well, what's your name, by the way? You look pretty nice, and certainly not much any obstacles in the way here. You're not exactly playing hard to get here, and you're not holding anything back. You're standing like this. What's your name, by the way? Where are you from? And then the woman might say, does it matter? At this point, does it really matter? If my name is this or that, you'll reject me. If I'm from this village or that village, you'll reject me. Yeah, obviously not, because Krishna has come there. Krishna's very coming there means his acceptance. That he stole their clothes means his acceptance. That he's smelling their clothes, the fragrance lingering on their clothes, by draping their clothing over his shoulder in a very attentive and concerned and interested way. It also shows he's accepting them. So as Krishna is doing with these are sadhana siddha gopis. These gopis in their previous incarnation, they lived in Treta Yuga, and they were in Ram Leela as men, jivas in men's bodies. They were rishis, Dandakaranya. They lived in a Dandaka forest, and they saw Ram and Sita, and they thought, oh, Sita's so fortunate to have such a beautiful, handsome, powerful husband. And they also developed feelings, they wanted to be like Sita. They fell in love with Ram. He was so beautiful, even though they were men. They developed conjugal desires. And Ramachandra looked at them and said, Bhavatu, you can become my consorts in a future incarnation. So when Ram appeared, when Bhagavan appeared as Krishna, then he fulfilled those rishis. So they took birth as gopis, with female forms as gopis in the Prakat Leela, the manifest pastimes of Krishna on this planet 5,000 years ago. And then, following the ways of ordinary village girls, they worshipped a local deity of Durga named Katyayani. But they weren't asking for any patidehi, patidehi, patidehi. They weren't asking for any ordinary husband, patame kuru te namaha. They were asking for God to be their husband. Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogin Yadishvari Nandagopam Sutam Nandagopa Sutam Devi Patim Me Kuru Te Namaha. We want a pati, as all Persian girls do. They want a pati, but they wanted a specific one pati. They wanted Nanda Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, Nanda Dulal, Krishna to be their one and only husband. So they were special, and then they did sadhana, they worshipped Yoga Maya, Katyayani, and their desire was fulfilled, and Krishna accepted them in the different ways which I mentioned. That Krishna came to them, that means he accepted them. He took their clothes, that means he accepted them. He laughed with them and talked to them. So we are also sadhakas striving for siddha, or perfection. We want to meet Krishna and see Krishna and serve him eternally in Brajadham, Golokdham. And we must also receive the mercy of course, the gopis and the mercy of Yoga Maya to make an arrangement to link us and connect us with Krishna through the exchange of service. Loving service. And we see in our own lives as sadhakas how Krishna comes to accept our offering. He accepts us also. Our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, used to say, if we take one step towards Krishna, then he takes 10 steps towards us. Very nice arrangement. So Krishna does more than we do. We only take one step in the direction of God, and God runs towards us with 10 more steps. So Krishna is thinking that he's thinking out of love for me, these Brajakumaris have done something which is very difficult for any woman. What is that? What do they do which is difficult? Even a married woman what to speak of aversion, would find it, at least in those days, practically impossible to come and stand naked before some man she's never met. That would be out of the question. So these are versions, and this is 5,000 years ago when things were so strict and moral and religious. So he's thinking that this is very difficult. But then he thought more, Krishna thought. But there remains something even more difficult. And I wonder if they can do that. Now let me test the power of their love for me. Krishna then smiled affectionately, and with great boldness he advised the gopis, "O gopis, you said that you're my dasis, my servants, and that you'll do whatever I say because you accept me as your master and your lord, and you'll follow my words and execute my wish. Now I'm going to test you. If you come out of the water and stand before me naked, I will give your clothing along with, and in return I will give you my body, mind and soul." So this is the nature of love dynamics. Give and receive. Not give and take. We have this phrase, give and take. No, that's business. I give you my product and take your money. You take my product and I give you money. Give and take. But love means give and receive. First give. You simply give seva and care and attention and help and guidance and service and affection and all types of expressions of giving. Love means giving. And when one receives love, then he wants to give love. So then you receive the gift of the beloved's love. So love means giving and receiving. You give love and you receive love. Because you give love and then the person receives your love and then gives love in return. So real love, true love means giving and receiving, not giving. You don't take, you receive. And if you, and even, and love is such that even if there's no love coming the other way, it doesn't diminish your own expression of love, because that's the nature of love. Love doesn't demand reward. Love doesn't demand equal payment. Love itself, love, the experience of love, to love and to experience love is its own reward. Prema is its own reward. So one is in love with God, even if God doesn't reciprocate, and he does. And even if God doesn't love you in return, but he does. Even if God doesn't give any love, or help or guidance, what he does, still the devotee will love the Lord, because this is Krishna praying. It's ahoituki apratiyata. Ahoituki apratiyata. It is ahoituki, there's no cause. Hetu, ahoituki, there's no cause. I do this if you do that. And it's causeless and no motivation. I'm not loving God because I'm getting something. What do you, if you take up bhakti, what do you get? You chant Hare Krishna, what do you get out of it? This is not prema, this is not love. This is not real dharma, that's some upasanam. Upasanam, that's deva upasanam, or some type of material business dealings. Oh, if I go to Vaishnava Devi, and what will I get out of it? Oh, you know, Mr. Agarwal went there, he gave donation, he prayed, and his business became so big. You go to Vaishnava Devi, she'll make your business so much big. That's all profiteering. It's all profiteering. It's not dharma. It's profiteering. It's business gods. India is full of business gods because people are business. They're not interested in love. They're interested in money. Money is love. I love money, they say. But here we're talking about the pure love of Krishna and his devotees. So he said, "I'll give you your clothing." If, in other words, Krishna's saying, "You come out, I'm testing you. I've already taken your clothing, so now you have no possessions." Clothing means your mamata, your sense of I. There's two things that a living entity has: ahamta and mamata. Ahamta and mamata, or ahamta, the tendency to think I am, and mamata means the tendency to think me. In other words, I and mine. I am this woman, I am this body, and these are my clothes. and my car and my house and my husband and my. So I and mine. I am this and this and this, and this is mine and mine and mine. So the mamta means the possessions, the objects of possessions, and the hamta is me, the possessor, the owner, the controller, the enjoyer. So the gopis, all at this moment, all they have is for possessions is their clothes, and Krishna has them over his shoulders. So he's already taken our mamata. They have nothing. They're nirmama. Krishna says in Gita, one should become nirmama. Nothing is nirmama. Nothing is mine. Niskinchan. So he's taken all their clothes. So he's taken away their mamata. So that's why he's saying, give us back, give back my clothes. He says, no. So he already tested. So Krishna, the first thing is Krishna takes away the myness. My house, my village, my Punjab, my Chandigarh, my high school, my club, my. He takes away the myness and then he takes away the I-ness. The myness and I-ness. I am this and I am that. No. You are not. You are Krishna, Jivara Surpaya, Krishna, Nitya Das. You're my servant. You are mine. Yeah, mine, you are mine. My servant. And you should think I am Krishna's servant. I am Krishna's dog. I am his dog. He is my master. He is my Prabhu. I am his Das. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabhya Britya. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabhya Britya. Britya means servant, slave. Ek Ishvara, there's one Ishvara, Krishna. Jagadishvara, Jagannath, Jagadishvara, Jagadish, Sri Krishna. Jai Jagadisha Hare, Jai Jagadisha Hare. And everyone else is a slave. I've taken away your possessions, your mamta. Now I want to test you again. You passed that one test. Now I want to take away your I-ness. And I am chaste. I am virgin girl. I am village girl. I am Abira. I am Vaishya. I am coward girl. I am Sati. I am chastity. I am Laja. I am Dharmic. All the I identities I'm going to take away. If you are really my servants and you will follow my words, now I'm going to test you. If you come out of the water and stand before me, I'll give you your clothing, along with my body, mind, and soul. So Krishna, he's saying, if you give me your mindness, and you give me your I-ness, if you give me your ahamta and mamata, then I will give you my ahamta and mamata. I will become yours, and you will become mine. You will take my ahamta, and I will take your mamta. You will become mine, and I will become yours. That's right. So this is what Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, in 4th chapter, verse 11. Yeya tam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. Mama vart madavartante manasha partasaravasha. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O Arjuna. So it's you give and receive. Give your mamata and receive. Become Krishna's. Be Krishna's mind. And give your ahamta and make. Become Krishna's. I am Krishna's servant. Because the gopis said that when they were shivering in the cold water. They said, oh, Shyamasundara Dasi. We're Shyamasundara Dasi. We're your servants. Be nice to us. Give us our clothes. Servants have to wear clothes. Shyamasundara Te Dasya. Karavama Tavoditam. We're Shyamasundara Dasis. So he said, all right, you're saying that when you're standing in the water up to your necks, you're my dasi, so then das, if you're my servants, then you have to do whatever I say, I'm the master. And if you stop, if you don't do what I say, then you're no longer my servant. You're lying. Text 19, you yam vi vastra yadapo drita vrata vyagahataita udeva helanam padvanjalim murd yapanutayem hasa kritva namodo vasanam pragriyatam. Shamsundar continued, "You girls have bathed naked while executing your vow to worship Katyayani Brat. You have made an offense against the demigods. To counteract your sin, Prayaschitta, you should offer obeisances while placing your joined palms above your heads. Then you should take back your lower garments." Because two verses ago we heard that the gopis finally decided to surrender and they came out of the water, but they, as is the standard in all cultures, even the most primitive aboriginal Adivasi cultures of Africa or India or Tanzania or whatever, women and men alike, no matter what type of primitive form they may be exhibiting, they cover their genitals. They don't go naked. This is a law, even the most primitive cultures. So they've come out of the water, but they've taken their hands and they've gone down here, covered their, which is the law. And they're feeling shy. And Krishna is saying, "You have offended the demigods, so you have to fold your hands and anjali, and raise your hands to the demigods, and stand like this and petition the demigods for forgiveness." And of course, that's a very clever way to remove their hands from their pubic area. And he's saying, if you then you made a sin, and he said you made a sin against the demigods, and you have to counteract that by joining your palms above your heads. And when one does that, then obviously, then he said, then you can take back your lower garments. So he's saying, first you show me your private parts, and then I'll give you some clothes to cover them. Very interesting. Because it says that ado, kritva namo ado vasnam. Ado means the lower, ado. Ado vasanam. Vasana means the cloth, your lower cloth. So he's saying you're covering your private parts, and then okay, now Krishna's cleverly arranging so they expose those private parts on the pretext of some so-called offense. And then he says, "All right, now you've shown, now here's the cloth, now cover those. Here's the cloth for your lower. Because only I should see and no one else should see. Because I'm your husband. I can see." Krishna says, Vishnath says, "Oh, you made a great offense. By bathing naked in the water, you have definitely offended Varuna or Narayan." Gopis may reply, "But Krishna, this is a local custom. We're very young girls, so what offense can we make?" Krishna, "For anyone who's performing a vow, bathing naked is certainly an offense to the Lord. Considering that the fruits of their Katyayani Brata had become nullified, the gopis became afraid and said, 'Oh, we made an offense, and now our 30 days of our Brata and our difficult austerities will not bring us any result. Since we have failed and have become completely mortified, we should simply give up our lives.' Seeing that the gopis have performed such severe austerities by bathing in the icy cold waters of Yamuna, in the early morning of this month, and their bodies were pale, fatigued, and shivering, Krishna thought, 'Oh, I should be compassionate and prescribe some atonement so they don't give up their lives.' Therefore," Krishna said, "Oh, slender-waisted gopis, don't be afraid. The Shastras proclaim that all women are servants of Narayan. Garga Muni has also said that I am similar to Narayan in qualities. Therefore, I am now your Narayan." To nullify your offense to Narayan, you should face me and offer respects to me. Since you can take back your then you can take back your undergarments. So that's the point, he says, I want to see your your private parts, and then I'll give you back your underwear. First, he doesn't say, I'll give you your chunari back or your choli. Then you can take back your undergarments. Since I am a man, I have no business with the undergarments of women. That's the verse. It says, Ado vasanam antariya vastram. But I'm going to keep your upper garments and use myself as shawls, as chadars. So they'll get their underwear back, and that's it. When the gopis simply lowered their heads as an obeisance, Krishna said, oh no, offering respects with just the head is inferior because they have both their hands over their pubic area. And he said, you made an offense to demigods, you should raise your hands above your heads where the demigods are and fold your hands. And then you'll be free from this offense. Otherwise, your brut is nishfal. It's nasht, yoga nasht. And the gopis heard all this and they said, okay, well, we're going to lower our heads. We'll just lower our heads in respect. And Krishna is saying, no. When Krishna saw them using one hand, so they took one hand off and they put one hand up like this. Still kept their area covered. Then he saw them using one hand, he objected again. This is also inferior. Thus finally Krishna made the gopis hold both hands together in prayer above their head. Oh no. Thus Krishna made the gopis hold both hands together in prayer. When Krishna saw them folding their hands, but keeping them below their waist to cover their private parts, they were going like this, down like down here. He said, offer obeisances with your palms joined above your heads. So this whole thing, because that's what he says in the verse, he just says, offer, so why? Because they were trying to do different things. First they held their heads down with their hands like that. Then they put one hand up like this. And they still had one hand there. And he said, no, two hands. And then that was surrender. Text 20. Idyachutena abitam abihitam rajabala matva ivastra plavanam vratachutim tatpurtikamas tarashesha karmanam sakshat kritam nemur avadya mrigyata. The Braja Abalas, the young girls of Braj, considering what Lord Achyuta Sri Krishna had told them, accepted that they had suffered a fall down from their brut by bathing naked in the river, but they still desire to successfully complete their vow. And since Sri Krishna himself is the ultimate result of all pious activities, they offer their obeisances to him to cleanse away all their sins. Tika, purport. Gopis thought that the results of their brut should not be lost, even if they had to sacrifice their modesty. Therefore, they decided to simply surrender unto Krishna. This is explained in this verse. When Krishna had pointed out that bathing naked was an offense, the gopis decided that their vow had become useless because they bathed every day naked for 1 month. Desiring to attain the results of their brata, however, they offered respects to Krishna, who bestows the results of all actions. What to speak of this brat? The gopis said, if we satisfy Krishna, who is the sum total of all results, then what else remains to be gained? Someone may argue with the gopis, saying, you may gain the results, but what about the sin incurred? This verse answers the question by saying that Krishna is a purifier of all sins. Thus, there can be no fault for those who obtain the mercy of the Lord. So even though it appears like a sin that they bathe naked if somehow they please Krishna by standing naked before Krishna. Although it's a sin to be naked before the Vrunadev, the god of the waters, or naked before Narayan, who is all-pervading, or naked before the demigods who are observing everything. And that may be sinful, and one may have to suffer from that because of that sin or counteract that sin by some prayaschitta or atonement. If Krishna is the source of all religion, the source of all dharma, he's dharma personified. So he's saying that if you stand in front of me naked, then it won't be an offense, it'll be an asset, and you'll get my mercy, because I'm asking you to do it. Tas tatavanata dristva bhagavan devaki sutta vasamsi tabhya prayachat karanas tena toshita. Seeing the gopis bow down like that, Krishna, the son of Devaki, gave them back their garments, feeling compassionate towards them and satisfied by their act. Vishnu says, Krishna then gave back all the garments to the gopis rather than just their undergarments. Because he was pleased with what they had, because they had done as he had wished. Initially, he was only to give them their underwear. So that make it a little difficult to go home in your underwear. Still, it would look, be a little hard to explain to your mother what happened to the rest of your clothes. Dridam pralabdas trapayat. Dridam pralabdas trapaya chahapita prastobita kridana vachakarita vastrani chaiva paritanyatapyamum tadnabhya sunyan priyasanga nivrita. Although the Brajagopis had been thoroughly cheated, deprived of their modesty, ridiculed, and made to act just like dolls, and although their clothing had been stolen, they did not feel at all inimical or angry toward Krishna. Rather, they were simply joyful to have had this opportunity to associate with their beloved. Priya Sangha Nivrita. Nirvrita. Priya Sangha. They associate with their Priyaji, their dearest. Purport. Even though the gopis were treated contemptuously, still they acted favorably toward their beloved by doing what would have been impossible for others to do. And astonishingly, the gopis became blissful by this. The gopis had been deceived to the extreme by Krishna's words criticizing their nakedness. After forcing them to give up their modesty, Krishna mocked them, insisting that they come get their clothing. He made the Brajakumaris dance like puppets, kridanavat. When Krishna said, I'm telling the truth, this is not a joke, the gopis did not find fault with Krishna, nor did they criticize Krishna when he told them to hold their folded hands above their heads as atonement. Though all this was done to them, the gopis felt blissful because they got to meet their beloved. They actually became even more attached to Krishna for doing all these things. The conclusion is that when one is considered dear or priya, whatever that dear one does is experienced with pleasure, even if it gives pain. Interesting. Pari dhaya savabhasamsi preshta Sangama Sajjita Grihita Chitta No Chelus Tasmin Lajayatekshanaha. The gopis were addicted to associating with their beloved Krishna, and thus they became captivated by Krishna. Thus, even after putting their clothes on, they did not move away from Krishna. They simply stood where they were, shyly glancing at Krishna. Purport. Just as Krishna had stolen their clothes, he had also stolen the gopis' minds and their love. This verse describes the gopis as a reservoir of prema. The gopis interpreted the whole incident as proof that Krishna was also attached to them. So this is the expertise of women. They can see through the movements of men and understand the underlying heart's position. The men may be moving this way, that way, thinking that they're hiding their true feelings. But women are expert at understanding the movements and gestures of men to know what they, how that man feels about them by the way they're moving or acting. So the gopis can see very clearly by the way Krishna is interacting with them. He was also very attached to them as they were attached to him. Otherwise, why would Krishna have gone to the trouble playing with the gopis in this way? Krishna had overcome their shyness and forced them to come out of the water naked. But now, having dressed properly, they again became shy in his presence. Laja. In fact, this incident increased their humbleness before Krishna. They did not want Krishna to see them staring at him, but they cautiously took the opportunity to glance at the Lord. There is a suggestion that the bashfulness pervaded their bodies more than even previously. So they were certainly bashful and shy when they were standing naked in the water. But now that even though they're dressed, they're feeling even more shy in the presence of Krishna. Because before they were just shy and embarrassed about the nakedness of their bodies. Being women and unmarried women to stand naked before an unrelated man in one sense, not their husband. That's the cause for feeling shy or shameful. But now they're covered, their bodies, they had their clothing on, their saris and cholis and everything. But now there's Vishnu is saying they're feeling even more shy because now they're having to face the intensity of their love. That their love and their attachment to Krishna is so intense that they can't even move away from him. They don't want to. And they're a little embarrassed and shy that Krishna will understand how much they love him and how much they're attached to him. So that's even more, they're even more shy about that, that he's going to discover their deep attachment, which is even more of a cause for embarrassment than standing naked. The bashfulness pervaded their bodies more now than even before when they were naked. Text 24. Tasam vigyaya bhagavan sopada sparsha kamyaya. Drita vratanam sankalpam aha damodara bala. Krishna understood the determination of the gopis in executing their strict vow. The Lord also knew that the girls desired to touch his lotus feet. And thus Lord Damodara Krishna spoke to them as follows. Purport. The gopis could have said here, O Krishna, O topmost enjoyer of loving exchanges, we have now obtained the fruit of our vow because you have created this extraordinary fraud. By that you have driven away the very life air out of our bodies. Then again, by your mercy, we have become fully satisfied. By making us come out of the water, you have used various clever devices to insult us in every way. And then after draping our garments over your wonderful shoulders, you gave them back to us, along with the jewel of your own heart, as expressed in your words. In response to this, we can only give you our bashful glances. Therefore, because we are simply foolish girls, we cannot discern whether this pleases or offends you. Since you know perfectly well the differences of time, place, and person, you should please speak whatever you desire to say. We will immediately go home after hearing that from you. Desiring to answer them, the Supreme Omniscient Lord, who knew their hearts quite well, then spoke in reply in the next three verses to the gopis, which we'll hear tomorrow.